Hey, Taggett, you got a combine or a tractor that needs serviced? Check out Complete Ag Resolutions, offering you the best solutions in your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/Complete Ag Resolutions.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, Gatch.
This is a podcast where we talk about stuff. By we, I mean Terry and Gatch. This is a podcast called the TagCast Podcast. We're in cahoots with old Scratch. We've got some segments that we'd like to do for you, like what's in Hans's CD player, celebrity birthdays, and some deaths too. Sometimes fans' birthdays, to be fair. Some days we have guests and sometimes we don't. This week we might have one, maybe next week we won't. But one thing's for certain, TNG will be here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of the year. This is a podcast where we talk about stuff, co-hosted by Terry and Gatch. This is a podcast called the TagCast Podcast. The next episode's about to hatch.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch.
I'm getting ready for this, boys.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
It's a John Wayne thing.
Over 2.5 hours of cat fights and bullshit.
You got me, partner.
And a one, and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I want to be. I'm saying goodbye to you, good people, for I found a place for me.
And I'm saying hello. Welcome to Friday's TagCast Podcast. We're way out. What are we? Way out.
Way out.
Got the backup singers here. That's where the sun's
way
at.
Way out. Oh, I'm way off, aren't I?
Way off. Way off. My name is Terry Guile. This is the TagCast Podcast. Across the table, I got my way off coast.
Gatchalapagol.
He's way off the left coast.
Gola guy.
He's signing autographs now as Gatchalapagolagus.
Yep.
But how do you spell it?
G-A-T-C-H.
Squiggle, squiggle, squiggle.
A-L-O-P.
You're like, I tried to say Gatchalapagolagus, but it turned into Gatchalapachacalopsis.
Yeah, it was Gatchalapagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagolagol
it is. What is it?
It's Friday.
It's Friday. Party time.
TGIF.
TG?
F-ing. TGIFNF.
TGDGLT. IF.
Yep.
Got Lance Thill in the house.
Terry Guile, it's Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. No, TGIF was originally mine. It stood for Terry Guile is Fun. And then the restaurant came out and fucked it all up. Oh, wait, that disco show came out in the 70s. Thank God it's Friday. Remember that? No?
Me neither.
Well, you guys are stupid.
Insert laugh track.
Where's Bob and Tom when you need them? Hey, I didn't tell you guys, but I went to Portland the other day.
Yeah.
And I saw the fucking president.
Oh, really?
Of the United States.
What?
Obama.
Up in Portland?
Yeah. He was in Beaverton.
That's cool. Oh, really?
He was doing a speech.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys hear anything about it?
No, I didn't.
I did not.
You guys don't follow the president?
I don't really follow what his agenda or itinerary.
What are you trying
is.
To say, that he has an agenda?
No, I meant itinerary.
You know what I saw?
A travel itinerary.
I saw on the wall of the Dixie, it said Obama stands for another big-ass mistake by America.
Yeah. Who writes the president's name on the bathroom wall?
Well, it said Obama with an extra B, like Obamba.
Yeah.
Like you can't say bomb on the plane.
For a good time, call Obamba.
I didn't get that.
Obamba. Like he's bombing everything.
For a good time, call.
But yeah.
Obamba.
Luckily, Dustin had loaned me his recorder, and I got a short interview with the president. Can you believe it?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I said to him, Mr. President, how's it feel to be in Portland?
Because, you know, it is just wonderful to be back in Oregon. Oh. And over the last 15 months, we've traveled to every corner of the United States.
Really?
I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go. Alaska and Hawaii I was not allowed to go to, even though I really wanted
to. So Alaska and Hawaii is just one state?
It is. Alaska and Hawaii. Kind of like you have a...
Okay, so I lied.
Carolina.
I didn't really interview the president.
No.
Because I didn't even set it up good enough to cover for it. But that was a clip off YouTube where the president said that he had visited all 57 states. Leading me to believe that Obama is he's a nitwit.
Well,
they said he was tired and that he just but how do you accidentally say 57 and
say
except
say
one
I will
Alaska,
say that
Hawaii?
He was probably tired.
Say.
But.
Dude, the Allstate president from 24 is better than this guy.
But at the same time, 50 is a pretty round number, and that's how
57 is pretty not round.
And it's been and 50 for everybody's lifespan.
Well, it was 48 for a little.
Yeah.
A couple people, probably it was 48
still,
states.
Yeah.
The upper
and
48.
So, I mean, you have to be pretty damn exhausted. And so, my point is, what good can he, what good can come from anything that he's spouting out of his gap at that time?
His gap.
Oh. If he's so tired that he can't even remember that there's 50 states, any campaign promises that he makes at that point clearly aren't going to stick in his head, or he's just, you know, it's just the same.
Well, he's supposed to be the president / commander in chief of said 50 or 57 whatever states.
Yeah, but they just ran him ragged, man. That was
you'd think he would know. You'd think he would know.
I'm not saying he shouldn't know, because, you know, you should know 50 states. That should be second nature. He should never even have to go,
My take is that he thinks that the people in Portland are so fucking stupid that he can just say 57 or 50 and say that Alaska and Hawaii is just one state that I didn't get to visit because my cabinet thought that it wasn't appropriate. I don't know. But actually, that clip was from like 4 years ago, but
yeah,
I saw a stupid meme. I saw a meme on Facebook that said, I have visited all 57 states. And I thought, why would someone make that up? So I Googled it, and of course, YouTube.
Yeah.
Poor Obama.
I think, sometimes you think ahead of yourself. You think of the major points in a song, right, as you're drumming, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you leap ahead of yourself, and you're not really, you're just dependent upon just your second nature to get you through the chorus because you're really concentrating on that break into the bridge or whatever.
And then your mind gets distracted by something that happened earlier in the day.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you're hitting that cymbal 57 times, not 50.
And, hey, that's not a good analogy.
And, well,
I don't like where this is going.
Then you're giving it a ring a little too close to the bell, you know, and then you know it's not supposed to there and it's not going to sound anything good. And then, you know, next thing you know, then you're just too worried about the promises.
And then the next thing you know, I'm going to dust in all over your gadget.
I'm going to put stuff on your satchel.
See, I tried to find other names that work so well. There's very few words that work so well, names that work so well. Like, you can't just lance all over someone's thill. It doesn't sound right. You can't tarry all over their guile.
You got something there. Doing something on a gatchel, though. That sounds
about,
like something.
Yeah. What about...
And dusting it out.
What about, like...
freaking dusted that shit, man.
Dusted it all over his gatchel.
What about Tupac Shakur? Try it with that.
A Tupac'd all over his Shakur?
Yeah, what about Tone Loc?
How about I biggied all over his Smalls?
About Tone Loc?
I toned all over your Loc?
Yeah. Or no, we did... We
Jared
that,
all over your Johnson. That
yeah, we Jared one. All over your Johnson.
I Davided all over your Lee Roth.
Ah. There you go. There you go.
Oh, man. See, there's few that are as good as dusting on your gatchel. I think it's almost better than chanting all over your Tatum.
What about Osama bin Laden?
I'm going to Osama all over your bin Laden?
No. I'm going to Osama bin all... I've been Osama all over... Yeah.
I'm going to Barack all over your Obama?
Yeah, there you go. What about... I'm going to dick all over your Cheney.
Whoa, now we're getting somewhere. How many dicks do you know?
What about Richard all over your Simmons?
How about I'm going to Andy all over your dick?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Or I'm going to Ace all over your Fraley.
Could so 1 hour. Let's just do this for an hour.
All right. Could you peter all over someone's Chris?
I'm going to peter all over your Frampton. Or I'm going to Eric all over your Clapton.
You can Evan over someone's Dando.
Oh, nice. I'm going to Judy all over your Garland.
Yeah, that's a, could, that's a throwback.
Yeah. I'm going to Florence all over your Henderson.
Yeah.
Or I could Lucille all over your Ball.
I'm going to Dizzy all over your Arnaz. Or how about if I'm going to Frank all over your Zappa? Or I might just Yoko all over your Ono.
That does rhyme with boner.
I'm going to Sunny all over your Boner.
I could Barney all over your Rebel.
Or Freddy all over your Flintstone. Wow. Should we keep going? I'm going to Adrian all over your Bacon.
Well, hey, man, leave my Bacon alone.
I'm going to Pete all over your Townshend. If you say that fast,
you know,
I'm going to pee all over your town. Sure. I'm going to pee all over your town, son. Hey, I'm going to pee all over your town, son. I'm painting the town yellow. That's what I'm doing. Did you guys hear about Pete Townsend, son?
I don't know, but can you add them all over your aunt?
You can pee all over my Townsend if I can add them all over your aunt hole. Your aunt hole. Check out the peas. The Who's Pete Townsend recently issued an apology to a 7-year-old girl that he told to fuck off.
Yeah. Take that.
Now, could you guys guess any reason why Pete Townsend would tell a 7-year-old?
I know exactly why.
Did you see the story?
Because he's frustrated because I've been giving him shit that he might not be even in the top three of the most talented people in The Who. He's been getting that word and he's been...
But what does that have to do with this poor 7-year-old?
He just took it out on her.
Dude, she was at a show.
Yeah.
And he actually mouthed it to her father and said that I can't say this because you have a child with you. Fuck you. And you know why? Because they were holding a sign that said, smash your guitar, Pete.
What? That's his thing. Besides the cul-de-sac and the big belly.
That's bitter rock star, right?
He was playing a concert in Ontario when he spotted a sign that said, smash your guitar, Pete. The 67-year-old rocker apparently then yelled to the girl and her dad, go away with that sign, please. Just go away with it. Don't bring your children or use them. I want to tell you two words, but I can't because you've got a child there. Fuck off. He said it anyway.
Then he just did it. I can't say this, but...
Well, he mouthed it.
How is that offensive?
The father of the girl spoke out in the newspaper explaining that the sign was sincere and his daughter was a big fan of the documentary that showed The Who during their equipment wrecking days. And once Townsend learned this, he issued an apology with the help of a local DJ.
He just doesn't want to do it anymore, right?
Right. Yeah, it's like someone saying Freebird or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he's like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, and it's going to be at the end of the show. Fuck off.
Yeah. He said he could have handled things differently. I thought of sending someone to find both of them and telling them that he was not upset and that we were going to New York straight after the show and had no time to spare. Had to get in with the rough boys out on the streets. All of a sudden, Pete Townsend is fucking Australia. He said he wishes things had been different. Would have saved them from all this furor. What is he, a fucking Hitler here? Jesus. He told her she did nothing wrong, and he's sorry.
Would you, can you Adolf all over someone's Hitler?
You could. No. You might get frowned upon for it.
It's like, what did you just do? I Adolfed on your Hitler. What?
Yeah.
I just hand all over your Frank.
Can you... can you shingles all over my sad clown?
I don't want to do that.
that doesn't sound as fun as some of the others.
Does Dan still listen to our show ever?
Stan. Dan. Dan Kroll?
Yeah.
I don't know. Dan. Hey, Dan, are you listening? I heard you almost burnt your house down. You got to be careful when you leave plastic cutting boards on burners that are on. Come on, dude. I'm not trying to know it was an accident and everything, but Jesus, thank God for fire alarms, right? I mean, smoke alarms. This is a shout out to everybody who has houses and stoves. Make sure your batteries and your smoke alarms work because
our
friend Dan Kroll's house would have burnt down if it wasn't for the annoying little beep. Beep,
it's better
beep.
Safe than sorry. That's why I always say whenever you take off from your house, whenever you see the first red stop sign, you should always turn around and go and make sure you turned off your stove.
What if, dude, you know how far the first stop sign is from, or,
well, maybe
you, oh, red stop sign, or
you could pick
light.
like the chevron. Every time you see the chevron, go back and check.
Well.
Or every time an old truck full of hay goes by.
I'm going to Dan all over your crawl. Now, why were you asking if he still listens? Because you were giving Shingles a shout out?
Yeah.
He's so sad, Dad, dude. I almost called you Dad.
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 Dad. Happy Father's Day.
Sad Dad, dude.
Hey, Mother's Day is coming up. How many Frank Zappa fans we got out there listening that also might listen to the Zappa Tag Cast? I think Dustin's making some Mother's Day magnets.
I am. You can buy one for $2 shipped.
Dude, I've been reading about Frank Zappa's early days. I know this isn't the Zappa Tag Cast, but man, it's interesting. It's a book I got on my Kindle called The Electric Don Quixote. You guys familiar with Don Quixote?
Oh, Don Quixote.
The man from La Mancha. I was Don Quixote in a school production of the Blue Notes when our teacher went all Broadway on our asses, and I had to wear like this fucking weird thing, like the man from La Mancha, and I had like a shield and a sword.
You wore a poncho?
And I had to sing that. I am my Don Quixote, the man from
you
La
should,
Mancha.
Why don't you put that in your solo set?
I don't know, because now that Frank Zappa is known as the Electric Don Quixote, it just is bringing me one degree of separation closer.
Yeah, you know, and you know, if you ever desire, I know you're not really into like changing your name for a stage name.
Dude, I love stage names. Oh, speaking of that, we got some shit to talk about.
Terry Quixote.
I am Terry Quixote.
Terry Quixote's karaoke.
I just go by
Terry.
TQ for short.
Terry Quixote. Terry Quixote. Karaoke.
So far, it's been like 10 minutes and there's been no butt references. What's the deal, guys?
We got all our butt talking out with
Are
Westy.
Are you guys done with
Wednesday.
That? Or,
we did a hump day episode with Westy Weaver, and boy, that girl's got a dirty mouth. We
just
talked about buttholes and involuntary pooping.
Mm-hmm.
I wish she would have left the book, but we're just going to have to get one of our own.
You know, Mother Teresa is overhyped, it says here. People who visited her homes for the dying said they were bereft of hygiene. And they had a bunch of, they just lacked a bunch of stuff and they weren't good.
Yeah.
So they're saying Mother Teresa raised hundreds of millions of dollars.
Fuck that
bitch.
But
she didn't even, she got her own care from a modern American hospital.
She won a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, no.
No.
They're saying that the Vatican crafted her image.
Nope.
And that she was nothing like the image that they portrayed her to be.
She was no Mother Teresa? Is that sorry?
No, they're saying she was no saint.
Ah.
So is that her stage name? Mother Teresa?
Mm-hmm. Mother Teresa Quixote.
Because you were talking about stage names.
I was just throwing that quick story out of there.
I've always thought about having a stage name.
Yeah, just quick stories in the middle of yours.
Then you think, well, man, my band's not really big enough to have a stage name because all my friends know me and that's who my bands play for. But if you don't take the plunge, you know, and change it to a stage name before, like if I tell you this name, let me see if either one of you guys know who Stephen Edward Durin is.
Edward Durin, that would be...
I got nothing.
Steven Spielberg.
You guys both talk about his band quite often, and you, Lance, are a big fan.
Oh, Steve Turner.
Blackie Lawless.
Oh, yeah.
Now, check this out. I fell headfirst into the Wikipedia rabbit hole when I was looking up Chris Holmes from Wasp because I thought for some reason that he was dead. But
have
he's
you seen the new stuff?
No, but he's alive.
Yeah, the new stuff, you should check it out.
Is he in Wasp now again?
He sings in one song. No, he has solo stuff. He sings on one song. They show this interview.
Is it the one where he's in the pool?
Yikes, yikes, yikes. No.
Oh, okay. It's a new
Do you have a Wikipedia page, Lance?
I do not.
Well, you will soon when one of our listeners makes one.
Yep. We're having all of our guests, we're creating Wikipedia pages from all the information we gather on our CAD pack. Anyway, check this out. I did not know, and so I end up at Blackie Lawless's Wikipedia page. In 1975, after Johnny Thunders left the glam rock band New York Dolls, Blackie Lawless played guitar for them.
I had actually heard that, but I'd never seen him in any of the pictures.
He only did the rest of the tour, and then he quit 2 weeks later. His stage name prior to Blackie Lawless, you guys are going to love this one, was...
Blackie Clueless.
That's close. Naughty Blackie No Good.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure that was his name in the New York Dolls.
I wonder if that name's still up for grabs.
Maybe. Yeah, because he's Naughty Blackie No Good.
That's no, I think Gene Simmons has taken it away from copyright.
Yeah, he copyrighted it.
Now, check this out. Did you guys know that he was in a band with Nikki Sixx, the Four Motley Crue? In 1976, he formed the band Sister, which also featured Randy Piper, who would later go on to be in Wasp, and Nikki Sixx. Oh, wait, no, that's a different band. But at the time, Lawless, his stage antics included lighting his boots on fire, a trick that he later gave to Nikki Sixx. And they were in the band called London. Excuse me for my misspeaking. Nikki Sixx and Blackie Lawless were in London together, a band that was right before Motley Crue started.
But what's the band name? They were from London, right?
No, they were from L.A.
I remember hearing about those guys.
But, you said London.
Yeah, they're called London. It's kind of like that band of Montreal.
But of Montreal.
But they're from Savannah,
where
Georgia.
Where are they from? What? Who?
Athens.
What? What kind of music is it, though? It's like Canadian power pop?
Yeah. It's Canadian. But I did not know that he was in the New York Dolls and that he was in a band with Nikki Sixx.
I did not know that either.
And that not only did he used to light his boots on fires, but he would eat live worms on stage.
Nice. Whoa, that'll get the crowd going.
Now, when you saw him and they threw meat out, were they like simulating putting rats into grinders? Because it says that they did
that.
It says that they simulated rats into meat grinders and then throwing pieces of steak and chicken livers onto the crowd.
I just tried to dodge it. I don't really like getting hit with meat.
Were you, either one of you guys, a big fan of that era of New York punk?
Naughty Blackie No Good.
Right? Isn't that what the New York Dolls are, right? They're like...
Glam.
Yeah, they're like kind of transgender,
punk-ish
kind of thing.
Okay, I guess I'm
like
thinking of...
Like the Bowie, Ziggy Stardust.
I'm a dude, or am I?
What about like television? Was that when television was playing over there too? I don't know if it's the same genre.
Yeah, it is. They considered them punk, kind of like they considered Talking Heads and Blondie punk, which really, and Patti Smith.
Like a no wave.
That's punk? No, it's
glam.
Not.
New wave glam.
I guess,
punk,
but those bands like.
Like you'd consider emo metal.
Like Johnny Thunders.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, like, kinda.
Same idea. Right. Yeah, same idea. Yeah.
I never thought about it that way. That was good.
Well, emo. A lot of people say that emo came from punk, right?
Who said?
I've never heard that.
Do you see the size of that clit on that anteater?
I've read that places. When I like try to look up like the origin
what,
of the
emo came from punk?
Like
is that why they call it hardcore?
That's what it has roots. That's where the
bloody
roots that I've seen.
Well,
but I don't know, you know, because I don't really know where emo came from. So sometimes I like to look up where musical things came from.
I think it's a weird fucking constant full circle. Like heavy metal kind of came out in the late 60s, early 70s with like Black Sabbath and Iron Butterfly, which Led Zeppelin was considered heavy metal. And then like punk kind of came from that by people who couldn't play very good and didn't have very good equipment.
But still wanted to express music.
Right. So they did. They wrote like little short blasts of songs because they weren't good songwriters. They just, I've got these two parts. I munched them together. That's a song. We got a shitty amp.
That's a song.
And it's like, ooh, we got feedback. You got drums that are shitty.
And garage tune. Rock.
And then
garage, right?
As these people kept playing and honed their skills and got better at their songwriting and got better equipment, it kind of turned into metal because they started learning how to like, they're like playing tighter and they're doing stop breaks and they're like writing bigger, longer, like DRI kind of did that. Their first album was 1 minute songs. And then by the time Thrash Zone comes out, you got a song that's 5.5 minutes called Abduction.
Totally metal. Metal.
They've totally crossed over and they're not crossover. They're crossed over. Because, you know, Crossover, the album, was pretty much a great example of DRI Crossover because it's punk and it's metal, which we call puddle.
Puddle?
Monk.
Do we call it that?
I got a few little things.
We do now.
I got a few little things here about this, all right? This is from Emo Fever.com on the history and origins.
I have a comment also when it's when it comes around.
Okay, comment for Lance.
So this isn't necessarily my views. I'd like to put that out there. This is just what I've in the research.
The views that he's about to impart are not necessarily those of the Tagcast podcast.
I'll summarize. This is quoting. I'll summarize emo history in a nutshell first. At first, it grew from punk music in the 80s. Then, during the 90s, large record labels made it into a more mainstream music. That's when emo started to become a fashion trend. Okay. That's when you first started seeing the fashion. From the 2000s forwards, it was a full-blown trend in music and fashion. But, of course, the style was changed to fit mainstream audiences. This was around the time when emo became associated with whiners and wrist cutters.
That's a good group to be associated with.
They had National Don't Hurt Yourself Day the other day or something.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
But going back to...
hurt yourself.
To more specifically that era that they stay in the punk scene, it says, at first emo was more about the music. All the people that dressed up emo were very hardcore about the music. Started as a movement in Washington, D.C. as an offshoot of the hardcore punk scene. Music around this time was very community-oriented and politically charged, but pioneers including Ian McKay began to turn the music towards a more personal introspective.
Cool. Ah, straight edge.
And so they started getting more introspective about a whole range of emotions such as romance, nostalgia, and desperation. Yikes. And in the 90s... in the 90s, Sunny Day Real Estate, which started in Seattle of 92, became very influential in terms of the emo movement.
And then they turned into the Foo Fighters.
And they just started a loyal following with fans, bands such as Drive Like Jehu, Shecha, and the Swing Kids, became a more belligerent and chaotic version of emo known as screamo.
I want to talk about feelings. Does anyone want to for some reason?
And the scene the kids were at the time very closely tied to punk. Few existing original emos dressed like nerds with sweater vests and dress pants were very rare.
It's got me feeling kind of sullen.
Yeah, and then the record labels took over. Probably a lot like the grunge scene.
I guess.
To me it seems like every like 10 to 15 years, for some reason, the musicians want to dress up like chicks. Like it, I feel like it's this generation's like butt rock because they look totally like chicks.
Yeah, but the music is different. Sunny Day Real Estate is that, but they were a softer brand of Seattle rock. Yeah.
Sometimes emo is classified. Sometimes emo is classified by what they're singing about. You know, it's all
emotional lyrics. Yeah, I think that's what they're talking about. The intro versus perspective versus they started going into that
intro versus introspective,
intro versus distic.
Today on the Tagcast podcast, we're learning some big words.
And we're going to talk about feelings pretty soon.
Yeah.
Now that we've talked about emo
and
its transposition from punk rock into emo.
Can I ask Lance a question?
You can, as long as it's about feelings.
How do you feel, Lance, about your favorite...
How do I feel my Lance?
How do you feel, Lance, about your favorite Nicolas Cage movie?
Oh, jeez.
Good one.
What
would that even be?
Let's roll through some one. You got a comedy such as Raising Arizona, and then you got like The Wicker Man. You have, he was in that movie The Rock. Remember that one?
Yeah.
It was pretty, with Sean Connery. And he was in The Ghost Rider, that comic book movie.
I just saw that one about a month ago.
Yeah. What did you think of it? Are you a big comic book movie guy?
It's always weird to see big stars like that don't fit into movies like that.
Well, he was a Flaming Skull, like though. I mean, you never saw him as him, right?
Which
he was always
I
just a Flaming Skull walking around.
I like skulls and motorcycles and danger.
Mm-hmm. And he wears a leather jacket in there, right?
Was he in Con Air also?
He was in Con Air.
It has to be... Probably Con Air for me, just because it's more of a
quality
film.
That's the movie
film.
I was thinking, not The Rock.
Or Raising Arizona, because that was back when, before he was like a huge star that always wears a tank top and runs around with a gun.
You know, his first movie he played a minor role in was Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I remember seeing him in that.
He was one of Sean Penn's friends, right? They were pen pals.
Yeah, and he took his shirt off and said, no shirt, no shoes, no dice.
Dude, I want to be pen pals with Sean Penn. Do you think people still pen pal?
No.
They do.
They email pal.
They do. They
email
pal.
I want to be email pals with Sean Penn.
You know, I make a lot of postcards, and so I went to this website, and it's called postcrossing.com. And what it does is it gives you a random address of another member on there, and then you send them a postcard, and then they get it, and they'll register it on there, and then somebody will send you a postcard.
And it's like chainmail shit.
It's like a chain letter, yeah. If you break the chain, you'll have bad luck for 7 years.
Oh, man.
But then you register the numbers on there, so you know, and then you can post a picture of your postcard. So I thought,
or a picture of your cat with a hat,
or your picture of your cack
with a hat,
with your hat,
yeah,
cacks and Santa hats. That could be next year's thing. You could have people sending pictures of their junk, and then you just put a Santa hat right over it. We please would prefer cut men only. Shaved.
Unless
genital.
You want the hat on the top.
Yeah. He's got a frumpy kind of a stocking cap on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's inside out. And there's lint sticking out.
You want to put like a helmet on it instead? Like a
helmet?
Like a little construction helmet on it instead.
Or a little army
Cox
helmet?
Cacks with helmets? Cacks with helmets? Is that what it is?
What about
cacks with Santa hats?
What about cacks with yaks?
Yaks with cacks.
Yeah, yaks with cacks on a postcard. It'd be like, you know, today's, big old a yak rocket sticking out.
Today's episode of the TagCast podcast is brought to you by yakswithcacks.com. You can't tell if they're female because their clitorises are so huge. I couldn't even tell. I looked at a dog's genitals today because a random puppy strolled up to the podcast studios.
Mm-hmm.
And
ran amok for a while.
It did ran amok. It run amok. It did run amok. It did. And I looked at it and thought it was a penis. Uh-huh. But it was a vagina.
It did, but it kind of looked like
an inverted penis.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge little
space around it.
It was like a little puppy in a boat.
It had some... It had something going there.
It had like a little hair.
It was like one of those furry... It was like a caterpillar in a boat.
Today's episode is brought to you by dogvaginas.com. And I think I want to get rid of the piano music, but that was a nice touch there for a while, wasn't it, you guys? It's the first time I've ever done that.
Do you know that song, Rock Your Body?
Yeah.
Sorry. Do you know who that was originally written for?
Who did it? Justin Timberlake?
Yeah.
Oh, I should have.
Gosh, I don't know. I'm just going to guess... Someone who sucks?
Well, think about it, you know.
Someone who sucks little kids' penises?
I would probably think like Jennifer Lopez.
Wait.
Nope, Michael Jackson.
Oh, he does suck little kids' penises. Jennifer Lopez doesn't. Lopez. Yeah, that was written for Michael Jackson.
It does sound Michael Jackson.
And did you know that that song by Rockwell is often confused as being
Somebody's watching me.
A lot of people think that's Michael Jackson, and you know why?
Because he's
on there.
Oh, you guys are so smart with your Michael Jackson trivia. Fuck!
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to get you on
Somebody's
that one.
Somebody's touching me.
All right.
Do you ever bust that one out karaoke style?
He sings songs sometimes, and it's never the song. He'll say the name of the song, and then, like...
just go south.
Yeah, it's just like... I'm a Friesburg, yeah! No, that's not how it goes.
Which one? Is that the Beatles one?
Come on, feel the noise, yeah. Girls rock your boys, yeah.
I got a question for you guys. How much do you think an estimated salary for Paula Deen is, including endorsements?
Dude, she likes to eat butter.
She has weird hair.
This includes a $6 million deal with diabetes drug maker Novo Nordisk.
Well, didn't she get in trouble for that diabetes bullshit?
Well, no, she just came out and had diabetes, but she used to cook in butter like sticks of butter all the time.
Yeah, I saw Kristen Wiig doing a great imitation of Paula Deen on Saturday Night Live.
How old do you think she is?
62.
I said
66.
He was going to say 6, but I cut him off.
No, he said 60-something.
60-something.
Yeah.
But, so I bet her net worth, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Per
well,
year?
No, her salary.
Per year?
Oh, salary per year. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and think that Mark Harmon makes $39 million a year. He was on Summer School in 1987. Paula Deen has a deal with, well, I'm going to say $28 million.
50.
16.
Ah, jeez.
Good collector.
Is that one of your crushes, Lance?
No, I kind of like the one that's on Shark Tank.
The Shark Tank lady.
What, for older ladies that you want to bone?
The older one, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, the older one.
O-L.
I could be her bad boy. I'm such a bad boy.
Yeah. Albs. Older Albs? Ladies you want to bone.
Maybe she,
older ladies you want
to
bone.
Maybe she'd come out to the Dixie and watch
Albs.
Watch a band.
All right. This is kind of...
cruising for Albs.
This is kind of topical.
Older broads I'd like to fuck.
I will say this. He partially financed this film, so he's an actor and a producer. Channing Tatum.
Oh.
I hate that guy.
Very topical.
How old do you think he is?
How old?
Yeah.
I bet he's 28. I'm going to Channing all over his tape.
I'll just go 30 just for fun.
32?
Oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what
I'd
would
never
you think his salary would be?
For a movie or per year?
Estimated per year.
Well, he makes the odd amount of movies.
I know. It's just throw out a number.
I'm going to go ahead and say Paula Deen makes $16 million and she works at Walmart.
I think he's a bigger star than
Mark Harmon.
I'll go 20.
Summer School, 1987, CNSI.
Mad Mike.
I'm going to say...
How was that, by the way?
Magic Mike.
38 billion.
15.
15 billion?
Million.
I tricked you. I tricked you. Like I'm freaking out right now.
And then I got one more.
Okay.
Guy Fieri, how old do you think that fucker is?
How old?
Isn't it Guy Fieri, by the way?
Fiero.
It's Fieri.
It's spelled Fieri, but I think it's pronounced Fieri.
Guy Fieri.
So an R is a D.
Because his hair is all Fieri.
Huh. How old?
I'm on a guy all over your Fieri, but hopefully it's not too furry. I'm on a gay all over your Ferraro. I'm going to say, those white tipped hair... jowls.
He probably makes more, I think.
And he was on a show like 10 years ago, so I'm going to say he's 42.
I'm going to go 22.
Guy Fiero?
Age.
How old he is? Oh, I thought you meant how much he makes.
No, that was going to be...
He switched gears on us.
He's got to be like 45.
Bam! 45.
Nice.
Makes $8 million a year. Here's a fun fact. He gets $100,000 for a personal appearance.
You said he was a fun fag?
Mm-hmm.
For $100,000, you can get a fun fag. Okay, here's this part. Celebrity birthdays. That's the short. Today's Friday, March 15th. Believe it or not, you guys, I know it's hard to believe. Sly Stone from Sly and the Family Stone.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him recently.
How old? He looks older than fucking
he's probably
Flavor
about 68.
Ooh.
Wow.
My reaction might have been a little bit of a giveaway, but you have a guess? Because what do you think when I say, ooh, like?
I'll just go 72 just because I'm freaking rolling the dice.
Oh, he's 69.
Ah.
You guys were, I guess he'd be the winner, Dustin would be. And also, this guy's not going to take it, his birthday today, D. Snyder.
Ah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Rod Stewart.
Oh, he'll take it.
He came out and said that he never took it.
Oh, he'll take it. He'll push in
he did. I heard it in grade school.
So how old do you think old D is?
I think he's 52.
Let's see. When did...
I want to hear your collective reasoning on this.
Let's see. We had... God, man.
Wicked Lester
Appetite
started
Appetite for
in
Destruction came out in 87. And Twisted Sister was already pretty much past the point of popularity at that point, right?
Past the point of popularity.
So we had probably about... 85 to 84 was probably like what's that lollipop record they had? What was that record? The lollipop record.
Lollipop we're not gonna take it.
No, the
Twisted Sister.
Sucking all lollipop.
I was done with them by then.
What?
But anyway, yeah. Okay. God, it seems like 82 is really. Were they like 83 to 86?
Yeah. Like, wow. The kids are all right.
They were really flashing the pan, right?
I mean, the kids are back.
Man,
that was the
they released a few albums, though, three or four. And so I would probably say that, he wasn't a teenager.
God, that's a long fucking collective
23,
reasoning.
23, so I'm going to say 60, 53.
You said 52?
Yeah.
You said 53? He would be glad that you guys guessed that, because he's 58.
Oh, wow.
So he's like 27 back when they were.
Oh, yeah. He'd been around, and, you know, like his bandmates were rolling around in bands with Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons pre-Kiss years, you know. J.J. French was part of Wicked Lester.
The Animal.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, I love J.J. French's guitar style.
I know. You like him. You like his sunglasses, too. Also, today, a birthday from a guy who always wears a cowboy hat and a bandana.
Brett Michaels?
Yeah, nice guess, because he watches E! A lot.
And he's totally bald and faking it.
And how old do you think he is? Now, Dustin, just abandon your collective reasoning and blurt out.
50.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, Lance, I didn't even give you a chance to guess. But
he's
when someone's 50? 50, he's 50.
Jeez.
So that means 20 years ago, in 1993, when he was already washed up, he was 30 and already washed up.
I'd hate to be 30 and have to prance around with all that gear they wear.
Oh, I know.
I'd have self-esteem issues.
Well, he's still prancing around with that gear, and he's 50. And he's got the hat and the bandana. All right, here's one of me and Lance's, I will speak for him, big influences, like when Victims was turned into a death metal band. A guy who didn't really sing in full sentences, and he didn't really sing. But I think he was a big influence to Lance. I remember when Lance came in with the vocal parts from Bleed, and we're like, dude, what are you doing? You're doing that from now on. And John Tardy, birthday today, Obituary lead vocalist. And Obituary is
good
one of the
stuff.
Top two or three death metal bands by sales. I think it's Napalm Death, Deicide, Obituary.
Cannibal Corpse?
Cannibal Corpse, right, number one, yeah. But, yeah, how old do you think John Tardy is today?
Oh, no. I just thought 47 just popped in my head.
Yeah.
I'm going to go
close.
Over.
Over?
Over. I'm taking the over.
I'm going over.
47.
That's what he said.
Oh, 48.
Okay, he's only 45. He's my age.
Ah.
He was born in 68.
You can still be good at 45.
And, you know, and I thought, thinking about that, okay, let's see, 20 years ago, 1993, they were doing really good at that point. They had just released Cause of Death, getting ready for World Demise, and Obituary was pretty much on top of the death metal world at that point. He was 25 years old, riding the wave. That'd be so awesome, you know?
Cool.
And 5 years before that, when they're just getting signed, he's like 20, you know, just getting signed. So pretty cool. And now they're still a staple, as far as I'm concerned. Love the Obituary. I love to read obituaries, unless they're for my friends.
Oh, is this a segue?
Yeah, no. I got one more birthday, and I don't think you know this girl, but she's a comedian from Portland, and I've done a few shows with her, Whitney Strieg. And you guys can't guess her age because you don't know her, right?
Huh?
She's a girl named Whitney
Strieg. Whitney Strieg, she's a comedian.
I'm going to go with 27.
33.
Wow, so close. You guys just sandwiched her. She's 29.
Ooh.
Yeah. So happy birthday. I know she listens to a lot of comedy podcasts, so she probably doesn't have a chance to listen to ours every day. But just in case, happy birthday, Whitney. Put me on a show sometime, damn it. I'm trying to get on at the Tonic Lounge up there. They have a weekly recurring humor night that she puts on. She's been ignoring my emails.
I have a few things I'd like to touch on really quick. I got a new segment I would like to call 30 Seconds of Improv from Terry.
What is it?
It's called 30 Seconds on a Shirt, where you talk about your shirt for 30 seconds.
Talk about my shirt for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me.
You got
put
the timer?
Today you're wearing an HC Mines shirt, which is a local band.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you want me to start now?
Sure.
All right, my shirt is a large Hanes heavyweight. It is a cotton poly blend, 50-50, and it is printed with the HC Mines logo, which is a local band, like Dustin said, and Isamu Sato, formerly bass player from Yob, plays guitar and sings for them, and the latest incarnation was Paula, the bassist from my old band, Perpetual Conversion, and Sean Shock, local artist, on the drums. They have seen several incarnations, including Jake Lappin, used to be their bass player, who is now in Hive Tyrant. He's recently played at the Dixie. This is more than 30 seconds. And also included Travis and Mike from Yob for some time. So HC Mines, seeing all kinds of different incarnations. I think they came out right after Thrombus broke up in like 94 or something like that.
Nice.
I actually saw HC Mines with Yob at the Samurai Duck back in the day, and it was like a bonus. One of the dudes showed up, and so like after Yob played, they just did a few songs with HC Mines.
Nice.
They got albums out on a record label that I can't recall right now. But yeah, check them out. They're a good band.
Yeah, a variety of shirts. Lance, would you like to talk on your shirt? Or?
Oh, sure.
All right. What shirt? You got a shirt on?
I was too broke to buy a shirt.
Oh, Caius Lives shirt.
I would have wore a heavier shirt if I would have known we were going to discuss it, but it's a Caius Lives 2011 shirt from when we went and saw them with The Sword and Yob and Black Cobra.
Wow. Yob Power.
Great show. I was really looking forward to see Caius because the first time I saw them, they were so great, but... Man, they weren't really that great.
I am going to have to say, sorry to cut in on your 30 seconds, but the guitarist just wasn't there.
I don't know. I mean, they had that one, you know, the meth bass dude. I forget what his name is.
Nick.
I mean, he was there and stuff.
But he seemed pissed, didn't he?
I thought it was going to be better than it was. It was cool to hear those songs, but I don't know. One Inch Man.
Yeah.
Right on.
And the,
yeah. I would talk about my shirt, but I'm not wearing one. So on to...
God, your nipples are hairy.
Lonnie Brune. Successful Kickstarter project.
Did he?
Came down to the last 24 hours. He needed like $600, and I got...
when I looked at it last night...
A notification. Christine Levine said, you made it. Quit giving him money.
But barely, I bet, though, because it was like...
I pledged a dollar.
There was 23 hours left, and they needed like $235.
Yeah, so congratulations to Lonnie Brune, a comedian. He's going to do a DVD down in L.A. He's filming it, right?
No, I think it's in Washington.
Oh, in Washington.
Yeah.
But he's got that all set up with the director and stuff. Going to do like
three-camera
shoot.
Yeah, nice.
But he raised $25,000 or
$2,500.
$2,500.
That's to cover the crew, which, you know, I was looking at that.
Yeah, he had some great limited edition art and packages.
I was looking at the thing yesterday going, fuck, man, if he doesn't make it, that's going to suck because he's already procured and hired the three-camera crew and rented the venue and got the other comedians and paid.
It sounded like he was going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you
nice
can
to have
use,
a little back.
Oh yeah,
you can, yeah, and you can use Kickstarter as a marketing tool as
I
well.
I noticed that some
pre-sales.
One person gave $200 and another person gave $100, and they just got like limited edition signed poster art and free DVDs.
There is an original piece of art to it, and then you know some guy did art.
Yeah,
which I would like to. Yeah, I.
Well, I'm glad you told me that. I mean, I know it was last Monday or
well,
Sunday.
Well, I wanted to give him a shout out for that too because that's awesome.
Yes, good job, Lonnie.
Looking forward to that, and I'll probably download it after the fact. And
I noticed if you gave $7, you get like a shout out on the podcast, and if you gave $50, you get like a signed DVD
and
a 10-minute spot on his podcast to tell the story. And he probably got a few more listeners than us. He's been doing it for 25 years, not podcasting, but
comedy.
It was probably broadcasting back then. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Ham radio.
Well, right on. Good job, Lonnie.
Yeah,
and he's also one of those guys that has to overcome physical disability. He suffers from muscular dystrophy or multiple sclerosis.
It's a storytelling type of comedian.
Yeah, he's
That's
changed.
What he's self.
He changed his style over the last couple of years. I saw him in Eugene 3 or 4 years ago, and he's always been billed as like the most foulest comic. You know, like hard to get him booked. You know, it's very rude jokes and. Stories of being on the road and stuff like that, but that's where it kind of evolved to where now you don't really spend a lot of time laughing. I mean, there's a lot of funny things in his stories. Big time. And they're all so interesting that the audience is just like captivated by the story. And then there's funny little anecdotes. And
not everything has to be bam, 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 joke. Hop,
right.
Hop, bop, pop.
That's tough. You know, if you're
going to. Is that how a comedy show goes?
Dude. Just think if you're fucking Stephen Wright and you're doing an hour. Mm-hmm.
That's
tough.
That's
dude,
a lot.
Like,
that's a lot of.
Well, I was, yeah.
Have you
I
ever listened to Lenny Bruce?
I live on the freeway. No, but I was reading about him doing a thing with Frank Zappa, and they released some stuff on the Verve label. I actually tried to watch some
real,
of it.
You know, he wasn't like a getting a laugh guy. I mean, he was real like a thing.
More shocker,
kind of.
Yeah.
Because
of the time period.
Yeah, well, he was real talking about politics, and he was getting in trouble for his views and what he would talk about in public.
Well, because people weren't really used to people speaking out about what they really thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's taboo. You can't really say
that. Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, that was his sort of audience wasn't just like a ha-ha go, and you're going to hear...
Ha-ha go.
I wish my first words were quote, so my last words
would
could be unquote. Stephen Wright, everybody.
Yeah. That's like Tim Hammer from Portland. He's a one-liner guy. He has that. I never even realized that his name's Hammer when I was watching him do that joke about his parents getting an MC Hammer touch lamp. But he could never turn it on.
Yeah.
Because he can't touch this. See, he tells jokes where he tells jokes where he doesn't even do the punchline.
Why is your last name a tool, Mr. Tim the Tool Man?
Whoa, Tim the Tool Man Hammer.
Have you ever seen that movie, The Hammer?
No. Nope.
Adam Carolla?
Uh-uh.
He's a boxer in it.
Is it funny?
I haven't. I'd like to, though. I like Adam Carolla.
You know, it's written by Adam and it's his, you know, movie. So you respect it as like a guy who, you know, from a comics point of view in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Not like any blockbuster, but it's pretty good because he wrote about something that he knows.
Right.
He grew up in boxing and stuff like that because he was an ugly kid or whatever he says. And so, yeah, it was pretty good. It's worth a watch.
Well, I'll check it out. I've never seen a movie with Adam Carolla in it.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much his only one. He was like, I think he had the script and he was like, I just want to do it.
Right on. Hey, you guys both got like smartphones, right? Like,
well,
somewhat.
It doesn't really talk to me or anything.
That's not an iPhone. I didn't say iPhone. It's a smartphone, though, right?
Yeah.
So you guys probably have that option. I don't know if mine has it because I haven't checked it out. Where, like, if you take a picture, you can set it to where any picture you take automatically uploads it to Facebook. And there's this new thing I've noticed on Facebook. If I take a picture with my phone during an event that I have RSVP'd, it automatically tries to say this picture is taken at that event.
Oh, wow.
It's weird. And that was one that I didn't go to, and I tried taking a picture of my cat or something at home. And it said, here's my cat
at John Henry's.
Yeah. You know, so apparently there's this thing where you can get you take a picture and it just automatically, you don't have to do anything. It just automatically uploads. Yeah. Okay. Well, this lady in New York got mugged at like 3 a.m. and they stole her cell phone and her whole purse and stuff. So she goes home and then she logs into her Facebook and there's pictures of the person who stole her phone smoking weed. Because he was using her phone, smoking weed, taking pictures.
Yeah, and they're just automatically upload.
Yeah, so then she fucking told the cops, and then they have like a total lead on him because they have
his
picture.
Yeah, and he doesn't know that it's uploading yet. Still.
Exactly. So this is a little fail-safe for anybody with a smartphone. If you think you're going to get your phone stolen, just do that, because then if some idiot's like taking pictures, you're like, wait, I can see where he is. Look what's in the background. He's right by the Space Needle or wherever he might be. I just thought it was funny that he was smoking weed.
I got a special app on my phone. I can take a picture and it'll last longer.
Oh, you should invent that, dude.
Oh.
It's called the Last Longer app.
Yep.
It's for your phone.
You take a picture and it lasts longer.
Dude, your ideas are just so out there that they're just golden usually.
I know. I think I could make... Dude, that one chick, she just made an iPhone app for your phone to where you could download a Yule log.
Oh, nice.
99 cents. She's a millionaire.
I'm down with the Yule log.
I know. You'd probably drive 99 cents, right?
I watch it every year. I watched it this year.
Did you hear about that Norway show?
What's up?
Did you hear about that Norway show?
The Burning Show?
Yeah, where they did a whole like an 8-hour show on
called the Shit Is On Fire show.
It was based on a book called like the Companions Fire or something like that, and they spent 4 hours chopping up wood and kindling on the air, and then they watched it burn for another 6 hours.
And they were all like concerned whether the boards were like flat or like face down or face up.
Yeah, you could call in and
have them poke it or whatever.
There's a board that's like crooked a little bit.
You kind of move that one there a little bit.
You could call in at certain times and you could
for $7.99 a poke.
You could vote where they were going to put the next log, and they said half the complaints they got were that the bark was facing up, and half the complaints they got were the bark was facing down.
Jeez.
It's kind of like
first world problems right there.
I thought maybe it was so popular because of the church burnings in the past.
Oh.
I don't know. Well, you know Norwegian wood.
She asked me to sit down, but there wasn't a chair.
I know, because it was on fucking fire and it had bark on the top.
So I went and slept in the bath. So we kind of skipped over because I didn't have any stories for the last two episodes this week about crazy Floridians. I think I spit on my mic a little bit. But in Miami last week, an 82-year-old woman was forcibly removed from a Florida train for singing hymns.
Well, good.
Why don't? Well, why has anybody ever good. Seen hers?
Dude, you're puntastic today. You're just all punned out. A passenger on the Memorial train captured cell phone video of his mother, Emma Anderson, being removed from the train by a security guard who grabbed her bag and pulled her from her seat. He snatched her so hard that she fell backwards. She had a fracture in her hip. You can't just be jerking 82-year-old ladies around and expect them not to break.
You can't snatch them that hard.
When I look at them snatching my 82-year-old mother up off that memorial train, it's disgusting to me.
All I heard was 82-year-old mother snatch.
Yeah, I know what's on your mind. He's all on GILF patrol. Dustin's Gatch is looking for a GILF. I was beating my little beads with a bottle, and I was singing a song, and he came up to me and said, "Ma'am, you're making too much noise." And she kept singing the hymn, and then they dragged her off. Now they got a lawsuit against it. So apparently if you're in Florida, don't try singing on the bus or the train because they don't like that Jesus shit. Sausage. Mm-hmm. Did you know that if you say Jesus backwards, it's sausage?
Ah, nice.
Yeah, we learned that last show.
That actually makes it cooler.
You know, if you go, there's a YouTube for Yule Logs. It's called Yule Tube.
Yule Tube.
Yule Tube.
You should invent that, dude. Dude.
Yule Tube.
You could log in.
It's got to be taken.
Oh,
not,
can you log into Yule Tube? I hope you'll log in to YuleTube.com. We're totally, we have wood.
Oh, it's taken. You can buy Teletubbies there.
It's taken?
Yeah.
Someone has YuleTube.com?
Yeah, but they don't have anything on it.
What about SpewTube?
They just parked it.
Do they have SpewTube.com?
No, I'm sure that one is.
No way.
I think,
I just thought
about
that.
What about,
how about YouTube?
What about,
oh, that's for sure.
All Jewish people.
What about,
that's for sure.
What about LubeTube?
Well, LubeTube.
Let's look it up. How about JubeTube? You know what jubes are?
Log on to get some lube.
Jewish boobs.
Oh, no.
Jubes. That's just what Cartman says.
Oh, LubeTube. Nice.
How about JubeTube? All right. That's another one for me to look at. LubeTube.com.
Yeah, it goes right to mobile.lubetube. LubeTube.
LubeTube.
That's
okay.
So funny.
YouTube. JuTube.
YouTube.
It's all Jewish people. Having
it's got to be done, right?
You'd think. What else rhymes with you? PooTube. How about
PooTube? Oh, no.
There it is. It even has the logo like YouTube.
Sweet, and it's all Jewish people. You have to be nice. Jewish to upload videos. Oy vey! I got my Galupnikus with my...
videos of epic rab battles of history. Moses, Snoop Dogg versus Santa.
Rabbi.
You got... the Jewish Monkeys presents Black But Sweet.
Black But Sweet.
Homies Nosh and Hammond.
BlackPeopleMeet.com.
Babala, please. It's Purim.
Navala, please.
Babala.
That's funny.
You got Matzo Ball 2012. You got Adam Sandberg learns how to be a hot throb.
On YouTube?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Pimping out the Jewlicious Festival via Jewish Harlem Shake.
Now, okay. What is the fucking deal with this Harlem Shake?
I don't know.
I've been seeing a lot about it, and I don't know what it is. Or
it's an old thing that started in the early 80s, but now like it's became popular, and like lots of sports teams and like different groups are doing it. Like its premise is it starts out as like one guy dancing, and then like a bunch of other people jump in with like props and get all crazy or
it's
whatever.
Like a flash mob almost or something.
I don't know.
For Christmas is Jews. That's a popular video on there.
Okay, you guys know about PooTube.com?
PooTube?
Yeah.
Is it poop?
Well, it's poop videos.
Like sexual
but
poop
there's a PooTube. There's a PooTube video on YouTube, and it's for a product called PooTube. Now everyone can stand up while taking a poop.
As if you'd want to.
So are you guys familiar with the PooTube?
Mm.
Oh, man.
No.
Well, you might be about to be. But maybe not. PooTube.com. So there is a JuTube, and there's a LubeTube.
And a PooTube.
But there's not a PooTube.com. I found a... You're going to have to turn that around.
Is the speaker on the back?
Yeah. No, it comes out the screen.
What's going on?
They're snacking on snacks.
Fucking up that puss? Dude.
Look at the guy. Look at the guy.
Yikes.
That guy's black.
Mordecai said, suck my dick. Is that what he said?
Yeah, that is what he said.
That is a Jewish reference.
Oh, wow, dude. That was weird.
All right.
Why did that happen?
Have we talked to Hans yet?
Hans, a CD player?
Yeah, I don't know what you got going on over there.
No,
sorry.
I was looking
I hope I'm not interrupting.
No, nothing's working over here for me. Oh. I was trying to find the poo tube video, but...
oh, yeah.
It's so you can poop standing up.
Yeah. That reminded me of something that was related to Hans. Can I talk about this on the air, Lance?
What is his dad? His dad's related to
Hans. It depends on the subject.
Well, you know...
His brother's related to him.
His chair tendencies, right? Like he likes to... sit on
women,
stage. I'm thinking, you know, because
he
I know
to
it's
lay in a cot. When he
I
plays.
Know, I know this is like,
dude, that sucks.
Well, I'm proposing because I know that he has back issues.
Yeah.
And by the way, I also have to say is Mick Mars, dude, come on,
dude,
he's still standing,
dude.
But what I'm proposing
Elton
is
John, he's still standing.
I'm still standing. Was that him or Reggie?
But that's weird because he sat down at the piano while he sang it.
Yeah.
Fucking goofball.
But what I'm proposing is like if you put like in the corner like a little shaded area, right?
Yeah.
And just put like a leaned back piece of wood that looked like a coffin.
And he could so lean into
he
it?
He could lean against it, lean back on it, and kind of play it, but he would, you know, on so you could still be relaxed.
And then he could put one of those things that goes over the chairs that has the little back rubber that goes over
the
lower lumbar support.
Yeah,
yeah, that goes.
But, you know, you got the coffin stage presence at the same time, you know, but also kind of in the shadows. So you're
I think
not,
that
like,
would
right
be a bit too
the...
gimmicky for him. Like it'd be a stage
prop. Oh, you're right. Then he'd be that
but
guy.
Not if he's in the shadows because it would be like in the back behind all you guys like. In the corner, and then it would be...
We're just going to bring a bed for him and have him hang out in the green room with a wireless...
Can you play horizontal Hans?
Horizontal Hans.
He said he wanted to.
Play laying down. I'm going to bring... Maybe I'll bring a cot over there and we'll see if he's laying down. In the meantime, we're going to roll this... I don't think Lance has heard this one.
Women in the hood, they call them britches.
Britches. This is our new Hans CD player song. It's terrible. We'll have a new one next week. What's in Hans' CD player? I got spaghetti on my shirt, and I don't know what I'm saying because I'm white, and I don't know how to rap because my name is a Mexican Dinners. And what's in Hans' CD player?
What?
We're going to find out right now. I bet it's not Eminem. Yep,
that's
new
a song.
Right, yeah.
I want to guess.
You're never going to guess.
All right.
You want a hint?
Never gonna guess this song.
You never, 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 never gonna guess it. It's a movie soundtrack from the 70s.
Grease.
Oh, okay.
It's Grease.
No, he was just listening to Grease.
I
not
can
too
already
long ago.
Guess this is going to be
it's
the
close to
soundtrack to 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Wow, that was a lot of breath you ran out of.
And that was 80s.
Yeah,
right?
It is. I'll give you one visual hint that the listeners can't see.
Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah, nice, nice.
Dune.
What?
Yeah, he's listening to the Bee Gees and
Dune.
Shit. And no, he got it. It was
Dune.
No. It's not Dune, dude. Quit saying that.
Dude.
My little two-year-old godson says Dune for dude because nice. We were watching a pup named Scooby-Doo, and there was the headless skateboarder.
Yeah.
And he had a fucking jack-o'-lantern that he held, which is what he talked out of, but he had no head. And he'd come skating up, and he'd be like, dude. Hey, dude! So then he runs around the house going, Dune, Dune. I'm like, you like Sting that much? You want to watch Dune?
Oh, no.
I hate that movie.
Oh, no.
I have that on VHS.
Really? You should put it in for him. See if he likes it.
I'll put it in now when I get home. Well, he likes Godzilla.
So
yeah,
have you ever played that song for him?
What? Dune?
Godzilla.
Oh no, I never have. He's never heard the Blue Oyster Cult.
Dude, you should put that in for him.
Dune.
You should put that in for him.
I will
see,
the next time I see him.
Godzilla.
Let's see. Godzilla? I think he actually says Godzilla. No, he says dinosaur. He calls him a dinosaur.
Oh, yeah?
Or a big rawr.
Nice.
I was going to look up to find out what exactly Hans is listening to besides just the Bee Gees.
Oh, you're going to look up a track list of the Saturday Night Fever now?
Yeah, because now Hans
recently... I never watched this.
Hans recently answered a question that Lance doesn't know about yet that I'm going to inform him. We asked him on Tumblr why he likes stuff like the Bay City Rollers and that 25 top bubblegum rocker songs, and he said something to the effect of they make him feel good.
And it's a catchy song, and reminds him of a simpler time.
Wait. And he didn't it say something about feeling good?
Yeah. You're sad.
You're telling me that Hans is okay with feeling good sometime? Because I've known the dude for like 20 years, and it doesn't seem like he ever wants to feel good.
Well, it's not that he wants to, but I think sometimes you have to feel
good.
It helps.
It just helps.
Yeah, but it's for peeing out of. And that's an inside joke that never gets inside, if you know what I mean. If you know what I mean. Okay, we got the hits off this are How Deep Is Your Bung?
How deep is your bung?
It's Staying Alive, Night Fever, More Than a Woman, and If I Can't Have You, which I believe are all Bee Gees, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had like a quick quote, he said, as far as the appeal of bubblegum music, I do like a catchy tune that makes me feel good and reminds me of a simpler time. And then he asked a question for me, but this is a question for you, so I'm asking you.
Make me feel good!
Who do you think would write a better self-help sex book, My Two Hawks or Ziggy?
Remember Ruth Ziggy? Westheimer.
I remember Ziggy, yeah.
I thought at first he was meant the Zippy the Pinhead.
Gosh,
which
I don't
Ziggy
even...
and Zippy are two different people.
That question has me stymied.
All right.
Because how can Hawks write sex books?
I don't know.
But
well,
Ziggy,
My Two Hawks is actually
Ziggy
Dustin.
Doesn't really seem to be very sexual, so I guess I have to go with the Hawks. Because they're, they're people.
All right, so not only do we have the Bee Gees, we have hits by Yvonne Elliman, Walter Murphy doing a fifth of Beethoven.
I remember that. He goes, da-da-da-da!
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da! It's all a cappella like that, right?
Yeah. And then we had Kool and the Gang doing Open Sesame.
Open Sesame!
Boogie Shoes by KC and the Sunshine Band.
Does that song even go like that?
No, I told you. He sings songs
I don't know
that don't
what the song. I've never heard it.
That's easy. He just sings the title.
I like Kool and the Gang, though.
Okay, yeah. Disco Inferno. How does that go?
Disco Inferno.
I actually know that song.
Disco
Inferno.
That's the Tramps.
Ooh.
Leroy Green wrote that song. You think he's black? I believe so.
No, he could be related to CeeLo Green.
He could be green.
Well, he's black, too.
I know.
How My come friend, black people always have colors for last
I don't know,
names?
But is it racist? Is it racist if somebody accidentally calls them CeeLo Brown?
Colored people. They have colored
that
names.
That would be
like
a yes.
Leroy is Green.
I would think
I
so.
Saw a movie the other night that had freaking Keith David.
Oh, yeah? Was it? Which one is that?
It was called...
Was he in Firestarter?
No, that's David Keith.
Okay.
Keith David is a black dude because Larry David and the blacks, that's how I remember. Because
okay.
The blacks were black people, Larry White or Larry Jew. Anyway, he played a homeless guy in this weird movie from like the early 90s that had Lucas Haas and David Arquette, and it was called Johns.
Lucas
and they,
Haas. He doesn't do anything anymore.
They were Johns on the Santa Monica Boulevard.
Santa Monica Boulevard.
Giving blowjobs to guys for money. Yeah, you love your Sheryl Crow.
You know who used to make her crow?
Lance Armstrong.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he didn't have the balls to continue being his girlfriend.
Oh!
Yep, so Hans, I don't know. I guess if you want to listen to some disco, that's okay. But
all she wanted to do was have one ball.
All I want to do is suck two balls. But my boyfriend had one removed. Now I'm divorcing him.
Only one.
Yep, Cheryl. She's such a crow.
She's a singer-songwriter, right? She writes those songs. She crows.
I don't know. When that first album came out, she was in this like Tuesday night music club thing where the other the musicians... She wrote the lyrics, I think. I don't know enough about Mrs. Crow.
Okay, who's better, Cheryl Crow or Melissa Etheridge?
I would probably rather listen to Melissa Lesbian.
All right, Melissa Etheridge or Katie Lang?
Melissa Etheridge.
All right, Melissa Etheridge or Whitney Houston?
Melissa Etheridge.
Melissa Etheridge or Bonnie Raitt?
Melissa Etheridge.
Melissa Etheridge or Reba McEntire?
Melissa Etheridge.
All right, Melissa Etheridge or Robert Cray?
Robert Cray, bro.
Robert Cray or Buddy Guy?
Buddy Guy.
Buddy Guy or Buddy Rich?
Buddy Guy.
All right.
That was a new segment called Melissa Etheridge or...
It was for a while. You were really knocking down some... I didn't know Melissa
You didn't know
Etheridge.
I loved lesbian rock so much?
Well, you even knocked down some other lesbian ones. I didn't realize that you were such a, you know... Because I myself probably would have picked Sheryl Crow over Melissa Etheridge. Right from the beginning.
Well, yeah. She and likes guys named Lance, so, you know.
Yeah.
You know I'm down.
It was one ball, though.
I know. And I may or may not have more than that.
Yeah, I could have two or four. Or that could be ET.
Or three. Or just one. One big one.
LT, the extra testicle.
You big fan of the I was watching on TV the other day. In fact, Lance was watching with me. They were doing on OPB. They were doing their marathon and giving away the Albert King and Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I have that CD.
It was a fantastic CD, man. Those guys gelled, man. It was like capturing a magic moment listening to that kind of, that stuff.
This magic moment. They were like,
I never really listened to Albert King other than that. I think I tried a few times, you know, after listening to that, try to see like.
Was he a left-hander? Was
his
he a lefty?
Type of blues going on. He might, well, I don't know.
I thought he was one of those kings that played upside down with those strings on the upside down way.
I don't know.
I'm not too sure. But
I hate to be wrong on something like that.
I know, me too. It's like when I was trying to decide where the phrase word came from.
I've actually thought about that a ton, and I've also thought about where did props come from.
I decided that...
Giving you props.
I decided that word kind of means like the truth or the gospel.
Yeah?
Like word.
Just
like it's
the
word.
Literal sense.
Yeah, well, like word means...
Sense.
Word means, you know, like a word, but... Like, well, the word of God, the Bible, is supposed to be the gospel, the truth.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of a reach, but I never did Google it to find
look
out.
Look into
sure.
where props came from, because that's been driving me crazy.
Props?
Giving you props.
It must be short for something.
I know, but...
He was a left-hander.
He was a left-hander.
I don't
right.
even know.
I was correct on that information.
I'm going to ask Lance if he knows Albert King. Basketball player?
I thought you were talking about guitar players.
I was, but this is Albert King, the basketball player.
I do not. I know Bernard King.
Albert King, he played, he was a 10th pick overall in 1981 by the Nets, played for 10 years for the Nets, Sixers, Spurs, and then eventually the Bullets before he was out. He played in
that guy's an idiot.
Nine NBA seasons.
He blew it, obviously.
Yeah.
Was he black?
He was. He was rated the top prep player in the nation over Magic Johnson and Gene Banks during his senior year.
Whoa. Well, good job there, whatever your name is.
Albert King.
Oh, yeah. Not the blues player.
I know Albert.
Yeah.
Albert Gein.
He liked to make masks out of people.
Oh, yeah.
What about Freddie? A
little dead air there.
Freddie Fender. You're a big fan of Freddie Fender in the room.
Anybody? No.
You know who that is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you're not a big fan?
That's the guy from Scooby-Doo's dad, isn't it?
No.
Freddie Fender?
He had some hits.
Well, no, isn't
I think that was Freddie Bumper.
Doesn't his son play in the Scooby-Doo movies?
Freddie Fender? Maybe. I don't know what you're talking about right now.
The blonde dude?
The blonde Fred on Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, I think that's his... Freddie Prinze.
All right, here you go, buddy.
No, oh, I thought Prince. You were talking Never about, mind. Isn't the main character's name Fred?
The term props is short for propers, which is a, which itself is short for proper respect.
I'm giving you propers, bro.
You heard it first on Aretha Franklin's Respect, where she says, I'm about to give you all my money, and all I'm asking in return, honey, is to give me my propers when you get home. My propers. The lyric is often
start
quoted
giving people propers.
The lyric is often quoted as prophets, but if you listen to Otis Redding's original recording, the word is clearly proper. Prop to give propers dates back to much earlier in the century, originally proper respect for elders. But Aretha made it famous, and rappers in the 80s shortened it to props.
All right.
Rappers did it.
Aretha Franklin or Melissa Etheridge?
Aretha.
All right. Aretha or Gladys?
Aretha.
Jeez.
All right. Aretha
or
Urethra?
Choice,
Aretha or Urethra?
Yeah.
Urethra. Right. Your Aretha.
All right, listening to 16 albums of Aretha Franklin in a row or 16 seconds of a catheter in your urethra?
I'm going with the catheter.
16 albums.
I'm going with the catheter.
Wow, whoa. You can take that shit.
Well, 16 seconds, man. I can handle that. No problem. Oh,
compared man. To the 16 hours of Aretha.
16 hours in your urethra or 16 hours of Aretha? Hey, you guys better go out and do something awesome this weekend. It's Friday, and we're going to wrap up the show here. I believe we'd like to thank our sponsors, Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. We chowed down on some meat trio today.
Oh, man, that was good.
And some other barbecued awesomeness.
They porcupine. Recently celebrated their one-year anniversary.
Congratulations, Pizza Now. We're ready when you are. I'm working on a jingle, Chris. I hope you're listening. We're going to have their owner, operator, Chris Salmon, on the show. Coming up, we're going to talk about with him about Stephen King miniseries.
Yeah, you watch many miniseries of Stephen King's plans?
I have watched It.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was a miniseries.
That's actually a great miniseries.
Scary.
Just a quick preview. What did you enjoy? Many people have a problem with the second half of It.
Yeah,
That it's I not. Have a, it didn't live up to the
weird.
I have a
character building
with the end, like last 10 minutes of It when you find out that the monster is actually just some big fake looking spider.
Weird spider, yeah. Because it was super scary. Yeah.
I like John Ritter in it, and John Boy from the Waltons was in it. Paul Schaefer. I'll be performing with Dan Paul Schaefer. Coming up at the city. Hey, got any gum? Great show. That's great.
What kind of show is this, by the way?
Fucking goofy. I like that as well.
That's Paul Schaefer, right?
You got to lift your hand up. We'll come back from the commercial.
He always sings all that weird stuff like going to commercial song.
I know.
Just like random made up shit.
And then Anton Fig is over there, right?
Yeah. He's getting
throwing
old.
Something.
He wears a weird beret all the time on
he
his
does.
Head.
Because he's frying.
I've been thinking about wearing a beret. What do you think?
Because I think he's going bald. No, you could wear one. I think you could rock the beret.
Think I could pull it off?
But I would call it a beret.
Beret.
Little green red beret.
I thought that was Corvette.
Oh, yeah. He had Raspberry Beret, though.
Oh, that's Raspberry all. Corvette.
Yeah.
I got my Prince shit all fucked from. Up. Okay, so, yeah, it's Friday. Let's see. What's tomorrow? Is the 16th.
Saturday.
Oh, go
in
to the Dixie.
The park.
Go to the Dixie tomorrow night and see
I think
Crimson
it was
Guardian.
Something of March.
And Bikini.
Yeah, Bikini and Wicked
Which,
Haven.
I checked those guys out. They're pretty cool.
I think they're overrated.
They're pretty metal. They're like metal.
They're trying to become more metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? They play like a Pantera song I saw.
Oh, they do? Yeah. I'm never going to see those guys again.
Is it Walk?
Nah, it's one I didn't know.
Cemetery Gates, I think.
Oh, you didn't know Cemetery Gates?
Wow.
I love that part.
It's a free show. Stick around for plugs afterwards. It'll tell you all the cool places to go.
Are you making an excuse for the show the listeners just listen to? It's free.
No.
No, it's a free show.
I'm talking about
what you got.
Don't expect any more or less.
And now, an exclusive debut single of No Romeo from the new album by Billy Youngblood and the Smokin' Gorillas. Find them Facebook, Boobs, Knockers, Tits and Shits. Hit it, Billy.
Tagcast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
tagcastpodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings. Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
Tagcastpodcast.com.
Pluggy plug plug plug. Boop, 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 boop Hello, Taggots. Here I am again to tell you what to go do. You don't want to just sit at home like a stick in the mud. Thursday, March 14th, it's Comedy at the Shack in Salem with your host, Jesse Priest. We got Richie Stratton and Andy Shands, a great impressionist and musical comedian. And Richie Stratton is actually the first stand-up to be on the Vans Warped Tour just for this last year. So go check out Richie and Andy and Jesse Priest at the Shack in Salem. That's a 21 and over show, and it's free. It starts at 8 o'clock. Friday, March 15th, the Cloud and Kelly's. It's Crimson Guardian and Bury the Goat at 10 o'clock. It's a 21 and over thing, and it might be a couple bucks at the door. It might be free. I'm not too sure, but either way, go check that out. That's in Corvallis. Saturday, March 16th at the Dixie Creek Saloon. It's Wicked Haven and Crimson Guardian Bikini, a free show at 9 p.m., 21 and over. Also, if you're not in that area and you happen to be in Eugene that night, the 16th, go to the Wow Hall and watch We Have Guns with 30-pound test, Tall Boy, and Audiophobia. I believe tickets are like $5 in advance, maybe.
Who's got guns?
We do. Carl has guns.
I got a gun.
All right, so go check those guys out. Friday, March 22nd at Diablo's Downtown Lounge, it's Sick Man, a tribute to Alice in Chains, along with Electric Funeral, which is an acoustic metal cover band, I believe.
Electric Funeral!
And Strange Dichotomy will be rounding out the show. That's a 9 o'clock show, 21 and over, probably like $5 at the door. Saturday, March 23rd, it's Nile, Ceremonial Castings, World of Lies, and Heathen Shrine at the Hawthorne Theater in Portland. I don't have information on tickets, but you can get that online if you just check it out. Google it. Tuesday, March 26th, at the Ash Street Saloon, it's Doom Extravaganza with Arizona's Graves at Sea coming up to play with Portland's Aldebaran. Also, Ash Borer is playing that night. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them at the Ash Street Saloon and probably a few other places, but I don't know where that is. Shows every day coming up. Wednesday, March 27th at Cosmic Pizza, we got Pajama People featuring Ike Willis of the Frank Zappa Band. I think that's an 8 o'clock show. I don't have information on the price of the tickets, but you should go either way. I will be there playing at least three songs with those guys on the bass guitar.
Pajama People.
Sitting in with one of my childhood idols, so that would be kind of fun for me. Thursday, March 28th at the Granary Pizza on 5th and Pearl in Eugene. It's Comedy as Advertised with your host, Seth Milstein. I will be doing a set there as well. And there'll probably be some Portland comics coming down and some Eugene comics filling out the bill. It's a free show. It's 9 o'clock. Friday, March 29th at the Crystal Ballroom in Portland. It's Anthrax, Exodus, Municipal Waste, and High on Fire. I'm lucky enough to have VIP passes for that with my friend Death Metal Dave Forsyth coming up from Reno for that whole weekend. Saturday, March 30th, we got the Last Comedian Standing. I almost can't talk properly, but... That's at the City in Eugene, 2222 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. That's a mouthful. But you got to come down to that if you want to. It's $5 at the door. We're going to be giving away some tickets in the next couple weeks for that. You got to come out and vote for me so I can win like $1,500 cash just for telling jokes. I could use it. Also, Sunday, March 31st at the Actors Cabaret of Eugene, it's the 18th annual Laugh Off. It's another comedy competition that I'm involved in. It's 18 and over, $20 at the door, but all proceeds go to the Green Hill Humane Society. So don't be scared of that $20 price tag because it all goes to a good cause. So get out and do something fun. A lot of more shows coming up. We'll save those for next time, though. Thanks for listening, and get out and do something. And when you get home, you can listen to the TagCast podcast at tagcastpodcast.com.
Blammo.
Hi, Whammo.
Thank you, and good night.